I think you'll be able to find very quickly your scripture this morning. Would you turn with me to Genesis chapter 3? Genesis, the third chapter. You know, Ephesians chapter 2 reminds us that the world we live in is grossly distorted by sin. Do you agree? I don't think much has changed in the last 2,000 years. The writers that were inspired by God to leave His Word for us saw things that we still see today. We see that all human beings, let me just put an emphasis on that. All human beings have a natural inclination to sin. Don't they? Don't we? I'm going to tell you this. Satan sure seems to know how to take advantage of our weaknesses. Amen? He just seems to know right where to hit us. And it seems like everybody loses to him. Everybody just seems to be being whipped in so many ways. But I want you to remember this. Even though you are still in a battle on this earth, and you are, if you're here, if you're breathing, you're still in a battle on this earth, spiritual battle. But since you're here, let me remind you of this, that if you belong to Jesus Christ, the ultimate victory is still yours. Amen? Thank you, Lord. You're in a battle. You're in a constant battle. You're in a daily battle. But in Jesus Christ, you have already won. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word? I want you to see where this battle first began on earth. Now, it began a long time before this in the heavens, but I want you to see where it began here on earth. Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden'?" And you see how he twisted that, right? Did God say don't eat of anything in the garden? Is that what God said? Do you remember what God said? What did he say? He said of every tree you can eat except one. He said, and it says, "And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" Now I want you to notice this next verse. Pay close attention. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." And you know the consequences. It says that their eyes were opened, and they realized that they were naked, and they hid from God. Now I want you to look at these things. She saw that it was good. Boy, it looked good. Pleasant to the eyes. Well, there's a lot of things out there that are pleasant. Hello? There's a lot of things out there that are pleasant to the eyes. Amen? And there's a lot of things out there that are pleasant to the eyes that aren't yours. Then she used the excuse, "It was desirable to make one wise." Well, everybody wants to be wise, right? Folks, we don't battle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities who are doing all they can to make you and help you to make any and every excuse to just keep on in your sin. Pray with me. God, we confess right now, we need your help. And all God's people said, we need your help. God, we ask and pray that you would open our eyes, that we would not be such easy prey for Satan and his cohorts. God, we need your strength. We need your wisdom. We need your help. And Father, I pray this morning as we look into your word that we would be strengthened by what you've told us about how we can be more victorious in spiritual warfare and in combating temptation. We know we need your help. So Father, right now we both confess it and we ask for it. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you be seated? The last couple of weeks I've been reminding you that the Word of God is critical for our battling in spiritual warfare. God's Word is absolutely critical. Without it, you're going to be without ammo. You've got nothing to fire back at the devil. Psalms 119, 105, you may recall, says, your Word, God's Word. Whose Word? God's Word. God's Word. He says, your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In other words, if you want to know where to go, if you want to know how to avoid the pitfalls, folks, you start here. Then Psalms 119 verse 11 says, not only is it a word, a light unto my path, but your word have I hid in my heart that I might, what? Be able to quote the word? No. That's good. But it says, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not, what? Might not sin. I guess God's word is a powerful component to battling sin in our heart. Now, hiding God's word in our heart means more than just memorizing it. But it does start there. It means believing his word. Do you believe that God's word makes a difference? If you do, memorize it. Memorize his word. And then not only memorize it, but live according to his word. Knowing and living God's word helps us to wage successful battle against Satan and his temptations. Now, I want to share with you this morning, I want to share some things from God's Word that I believe will help you to fight the temptations that Satan brings your way every single day. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell you there is not a day that comes around that there is not temptation. Everywhere. It's everywhere because Satan wants you to see it. He wants you to fall. Do you know what temptation is? Temptation, dear friends, is an enticement to sin against the will of the Father. Temptation is anything that entices you to leave God's will. Now let me tell you this for a fact. Every person is tempted. Everyone. There's not anyone who is exempt from temptation that lives on this earth. I've had people tell me, this is the truth. I've had people tell me, well, you're lucky you're a preacher. You just don't have to battle sin like we do. Really? Boy, I'm lucky. I'm going to tell you, you know, when the enemy sees an army marching, they usually don't aim at the people in the back. They aim at the people in the front. And that's what Satan does. Folks, everyone is tempted. Now, here's something else you need to know. Not only is every person, every individual tempted, but temptation in and of itself is not sin. Hello? Isn't that good news? The temptation is not sin. By itself, the temptation does not lead us, does not make us sin. We have to yield to it. Temptation only becomes sin when we give in to the temptation. After all, Jesus Christ himself was tempted, but he never sinned. We know that Christ was tempted. You go back to Matthew chapter 4, we're going to read some of that a little later. Here's another thing that you need to see. As we head into this particular time of looking into God's Word, I want you to hear this. In order to resist temptation, would you like to be able to resist temptation? There's the question. Do you want to try? Would you like to be able to resist temptation? Then here's where you start. To resist temptation, we have to predetermine in our mind and in our hearts that we will not give in to the sin. In other words, you've got to make up your mind now that the answer to sin and to temptation is going to be no. If your answer is maybe, you've already lost. Are you with me? If you're going to say, well, I'm going to wait until I get there and then I'm going to decide, you've already decided. You've already said, bring it on. I'm falling in. Head first, I'm there. James chapter 4, verse 7 tells us, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know what that's saying? In other words, if you want to overcome sin, if you want to be victorious, the first thing you've got to do is decide that you want to be victorious. If you don't want to be victorious, don't even make a farce about it. Don't be saying, I'm going to do my best. Because folks, I'm going to tell you, if you don't decide right now, in your heart and in your mind, you're not going there, you're not going to be a part of that, you've already lost the battle. We've got to decide, I will not sin against God. There's another step. After you make that decision to say, I've got no part of that, I don't want any part of that, the second thing is, you need to run away from sin. We've talked about this before. You need to run away from sin, not run to sin. You know, the enemy wants to engage us in conversation. Did you know that? We just read Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and we read about how Satan lured Eve into sin. Now, we don't know for sure how much Eve knew about Satan's crafty ways. We don't know how much she knew about, you know, how much he was going to be trying to lure her away or how he was trying to get her to sin. But with hindsight, I think we can all agree together that her first mistake was spending so much time with him. Her first mistake was listening to him, engaging in conversation with him. She began to lose the battle when she began to answer his questions. You just don't stick around and talk to trouble. It will convince you to be a part of it almost every time. One of my favorite stories about this, I've told you before, if you remember it, we'll just laugh anyway. But there was a lady who, she and her husband had agreed that they had no money to spend. She loved clothes and she particularly liked new fancy dresses. And he said, look, we've got to agree that if we're going to eat the rest of this week, we can't spend any money anywhere. Do we agree? She said, we agree. Well, she was walking down the street coming home from somewhere, and she went by the department store, and there in the window was a gorgeous dress. And she said, nope, I can't go in there. And all of a sudden, Satan kind of tapped her on the shoulder and said, well, what would it hurt to go in and look? She goes, well, you're right. She said, he said, don't buy. He didn't say, don't look. So she went in. And he said, you know what? I think that dress is just your size. She said, you know what? I think it is too. He said, why don't you try it on? She goes, no, I can't. I can't. You know, I just can't. He said, what's it going to hurt? You're just going to try it on. Well, she went to the dressing room. She put on the dress. And he said, She goes, man, it sure does look nice. But I can't buy it. She said, you know, she said, I'm looking here. She's looking in the mirror. She says, man, that thing sure looks good from here. And he said, honey, it looks good from the backside too. Buy it. I'm going to tell you, I think that when we start window shopping with Satan, we're already in trouble. But when he convinces us that, oh, you can get by with trying things on, we're seeing how they look. Oh, I'm not going to be. Listen, we are in trouble when we engage the enemy in conversation. The longer we debate the temptation, the more likely we are to fall. The more likely we are to give in. You know, when Satan wants to talk, and he does, he wants to engage you in conversation. When Satan wants to talk, remember God's instruction. Listen, there are several verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 says, flee sexual immorality. Run, flee, get away from it. James 4, 7 that we read just a few moments ago said, submit to God. First, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41 says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. So there we have these three verses. And in these three verses, we have five very critical verbs, action words for fighting spiritual warfare. Flee, submit, resist, watch, and pray. Folks, there are some things that we need to be doing all day long. Flee, submit, resist, watch, and pray. Now, when we flee, you need to understand there's some particular places you need to run to. Flee where? Where do you run? You run to God. Run away from the sin and run to God. Isn't that what the meaning of repent is all about? Repent means to turn away from your sin and go back to God. So literally, we repent of any opportunity to sin when we turn away from sin and turn to God. Now, why is that so important? Not that just we run from sin, because folks, I'm going to tell you, if we run from sin, we might be running out of the frying pan and into the fire. So don't just run anywhere. Run to God. He's your strength. God is your shield. God's Word says that He is a constant help in times of trouble. So when you're in trouble, run where there's help. Don't run where somebody's going to convince you to, hey, it looks good back here too. You need to run to God. Too many times we run in the wrong direction. We run into the sin, into the arms of temptation, instead of resisting and running to God. Folks, we need to make up our mind that we are not going to participate. And then secondly, we need to run from sin and run to God. Now, there's another thing that we can do that I think helps me as much as anything else, and that is focus on God's goodness and God's blessing. When you're having trouble and you're struggling, focus on what God has already given, on what God has blessed you with. We read in the scripture here that God gave Adam and Eve access to every tree in the garden. They had access to every tree. They could get even to the one that they shouldn't have. However, God warned them, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, that is something you don't need, something you don't want, and I want you to stay away from it. Now, why would He even put it there? Because they had to have the free will to choose God. And God wanted them to choose Him. Now, God, in His wisdom and in His love, made more than adequate provision for Adam and Eve. Every tree of the garden was good to eat. It was good for sustenance. But what did Satan do? He focused on the one tree that they should stay away from. He focused them on the one thing they should not have. And Satan said this. He said, God's keeping you from being like Him. God's being selfish. God's keeping this from you. He knows that as soon as you eat of this fruit, that you will be like Him, knowing good and evil. So folks, they focused on what they thought they were missing. When our attention is on what we don't have, we place ourselves in real danger and in a real bad place when it comes to temptation. Does that make sense? We are so afraid, as human beings, as selfish people, as people who look to our wants and our needs and what we want, we are so afraid of missing some temporary fun that we give in to the temptations. We think, well, God's just withholding it from us. Why, God knows that as soon as I take this, smoke that, participate in that, steal this, do that, why, it's going to make me have more and I'm going to have more fun. That's exactly why your mom and dad, when you were little, said, don't stick that nail in that little hole in the side of the wall. That'll hurt you. That's why they said, don't put your hand on top of the stove. That red Frisbee on top of the stove is not to play with. That's why they said, look, don't do this, don't do that. God does the same thing. God is not trying to keep you from enjoyment. God is trying to protect the enjoyment that He's blessed you with already. Protecting you We do it for our kids. Why is it that we have trouble thinking that God's not doing the same? And Satan says, you won't die. God's just holding back on you. You know, one of the words that we use today and that we seem to really can get angry about is people who think that they're entitled. People that, we talk about generations. We talk about people who think, well, you know, they just want everybody to give it to them, right? And we think, well, you need to get out there and work. Well, you need to do this. Listen, is it not the exact same thing for us? If we have trouble with people who don't want to work and yet expect to be given a living, whether it's our kids or somebody out in the world, we have a problem with that. Can we turn that around for ourselves and look before God and say, God, I want this and I want this and I want this, even if it's not mine? Isn't that a sense of entitlement that we think, well, you know, I didn't earn it, but I'm going to take it? We're so afraid of missing some temporary enjoyment, some temporary pleasure, that we give in to the temptations. Now listen to this. Covetousness, lust, greed, and even worry are all sins that focus on what we do not have. Every one of those things focus on what we don't have. Listen to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and 34. Scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What things? The verses before said, you know, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll wear, having a place over your head. He says, all these things will be added to you if you'll what? First, seek the kingdom of God. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Folks, God gives us more than adequate provision. If I were to go around this room, I would dare say that no matter what has gone on in your life, that there are very few times that you have truly gone hungry. There are very few times that you've truly been without. Oh, maybe we didn't have as much as somebody else. I agree. But how many times have we really been impoverished? Listen, when it comes to here, we're blessed among the blessed. We literally have more than 99% of most of the world. Most of us have no idea what it means to be in want. And yet, with all of the provision that God has given us, we tend to focus on what we don't have. God has more than met our needs. And we would be less susceptible to many temptations if we would focus on what we already have and be grateful and thankful for that instead of focusing on what might be missing. Does that make sense to you? So how do we take our mind off of what we don't have? Sometimes that's hard, amen? Sometimes it's hard when somebody else has a new this or a new that or more of this or more of that. Sometimes it's hard. But how do we take our mind off what we don't have? By praising God for what we do have. Being thankful for what is ours. Being thankful to God for the provision that He's made for us. And when we focus more about being grateful for what we have, we spend less time being grumpy about what we don't have. So focus on the good things. Focus on God's goodness and blessing. And I want to cover one more this morning. Let's remember the consequences of sin. Because sin always has a price tag. Always, always, always. You see, Satan, our enemy, makes sin look good. Doesn't he? Oh, it's always good. It's always going to be enticing. It's always going to be something to benefit. It's always something that's going to be freer than if we had earned it or worked for it, or if it's not ours. Listen, if we were to go back and read in Matthew chapter 4, which is the chapter where it says that Jesus went out into the desert and fasted and prayed, and at the end of that time, it says that Satan came to him and began to tempt him. Do you remember that scripture? And as it came to him and began to tempt him, we read there in chapter 4 of Matthew, it says that the tempter came to him. They use that word, tempter. Now, I want you to understand that word tempter comes from a Greek word, diabolos. Does that sound familiar? Got any familiar ring to it? Diabolos. Mm-hmm. It also comes from the root of the word diabolical, which means, listen to this, to split off or to split up. That's what diabolos or diabolic means. It means to split off or to divide up. The tempter, the divider came to Jesus. The divider came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he tried to divide him from God, the Father. That's exactly what the devil's aim was and is for us, to split us off from God. To split up that belongs together. Divorce is one of those words that comes out of that word diabolos. And certainly we know that he is trying to divide covenant marriages. We know that he's trying to divide those who have made a commitment to God. And in the case here in Matthew chapter 4, the devil aims to try to split Jesus off from the task that God the Father had sent him to. And that was to give himself as salvation to the world. Now, you remember, if you remember in reading that, it says that Satan was powerful enough, literally, to transport Jesus to the temple. And it took him up high. And he took him to a high cliff. And you remember there that, you know, after he said, you know, just throw yourself off, the angels are going to catch you. And then he took him to that high place and he said, look over here. And he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Do you remember? So Satan's power was very clear. And he said, listen, if you will just bow down and worship me, I will give you the world. I will give you the world. You know, compared to that, the tempting of Adam and Eve might look pretty minimal. Amen. And yet, we remember that Adam and Eve, it's recorded there, it says, and it was pleasing to the eye and desirable. Of all things, Jesus wanted the world to see truth. And if all the world would follow him, maybe he could point them to God the Father without having to fight his way through it. But he knew that wasn't it. Satan wanted him to worship him, and God, and Jesus said, of course, he said no. He said, that's not going to happen. You worship no one but God the Father. You know, the truth is, sin for a time is fun in so many ways. We can't deny that. I mean, here your pastor is standing up in front of you, standing in the pulpit, and he's saying sin can be a lot of fun. But I want you to listen to this. Sin always leads to a prodigal's pig pen. It might be fun for a season. It might be pleasurable for a season. It might feel good for a season. But it always leads to a prodigal's pig pen. You're always in want. You're always in despair. You're always in regret. You're always in shame when you do that. Our problem is that when we focus on the temporary, while we ignore the consequences of sin, we're so much more susceptible to falling when we look at the temporary payoff. Satan offers us the world, just like he did Jesus. Satan offers us the world and wants us to ignore the cost of worshiping him. When we worship the world, we're not worshiping God. And he says, if you're not for me, you're against me. So if we're worshiping the world, we're worshiping Satan. When we're worshiping our wants, when we're worshiping our desires, when we're worshiping the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, we're worshiping the world and Satan instead of God. Satan offers us whatever we want if we'll ignore the cost of worshiping him. And because sin looks so inviting, folks, we're often easy prey for the devil. That's why we need to watch out for the big three. You know the big three, right? 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says it this way. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, listen, it says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. Listen, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What the body wants, what the eyes want, and what our pride wants. Listen, let's just be honest. Let's just face the facts because it's an absolute truth. Most of the time, we sin because it looks good, and our pride says, I want it, I deserve it, I'm going to have it. Satan's like that fisherman who takes the bait and he throws it out into the water to lure a fish. But you know what's in the bait, right? You remember? It's not a free meal. What does the fisherman put in the worm? He puts a hook, a minnow, a worm, whatever it is he's going to entice the fish to bite. He puts it on there and he makes it look good. But folks, I'm going to tell you, just like the fisherman, if you will, Satan always has a hook in his offering. Always. He makes sin look pleasurable. But never, never forget, with Satan, there is always a hook. When we're tempted, dear friends, listen, when you're tempted, we should always look for the hook because it's there. Listen to Matthew 4. We're going to read the conclusion of that temptation of Christ when after his 40 days of fasting. It says, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Dear friends, the account of Christ's temptation is here for us because Jesus used the Word of God. He said time and again to the Satan, he said, it's written in God's Word. It's written in God's Word. And he used God's Word against him. And he said, get away from me. He resisted. He submitted to God the Father. And he fled away from the temptation. So let me close up with this. There's a number of things here that I believe that can help us every day. Every moment of every day. Because Satan doesn't quit. Amen? After you've had your first temptation, it's not like he says, okay, I'm done with you. He just seems to hit us harder through the day. The more we resist, the more he hits us. So what do we do? First and foremost, thank God for his protection. Because God does protect you. God does give you a covering. It reinforces your dependence on God when you give him thanks. Because standing by yourself, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. I remember a time when I was a kid, I was a big first grader. But I wasn't as big as a little fifth grader. And I know this is going to surprise you a lot, but I had a bit of a mouth. I know. Surprise, surprise. And I got whipped a few times on the way home. One day, I was only lived three blocks from the school. Dad showed up and walked me home. I guess just to show the bully or the guys that were there that there was a little more protection than what they thought was there. You know what I'm going to tell you? I was tempted to run my mouth a little that day, but I knew that I would get whooped from another source if I did. But I do know this. I remember, I'm telling you, even in first grade, I can remember the absolute trust, the absolute confidence, the absolute lack of fear because Dad was walking with me. Amen? You understand. And you know where I'm going with this, right? The Father loves you so much. He never abandons you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. And He does not leave you to the devices of the enemy. You're not alone. God stands with you. God walks with you. And when you thank Him, it reinforces your dependence on Him. Focus on what He has given. Second thing is, to effectively resist temptation, we've got to rely on God. Submit to God. Remember His word? Set your mind against sin. Make a decision that you are not going to be a part of that. Say no. Run to God. It's only God's help. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11 tell us this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Nowhere in God's word does it say, get out there and be strong by yourself. It doesn't say, get out there and fight to the best fight you've got. It says, no, it says, depend on God. He says, when you are weak, that's when you're strong. Because you realize, I can't do it. I'm going to depend on God to do it for me. Rely not on your strength, not on your ability, but rely on God. And then remember this. There is strength in praise. I'm going to tell you that's one thing that Satan hates for you to do. And that is to praise God. I can't help but think of, I had this week, for some reason, I don't know if it's because I was painting in the garage, the fire alarm kept going off in my house. And it was so loud, it's piercing. You ever have that happen? And you're sitting there and you're just going, are you kidding me? Could somebody please? All I could think of was getting away. I cannot help but think that that's exactly how Satan feels whenever we praise God. Praising God. That he's just going, oh, I can't think of anything but getting out of here. God's word says that He, God the Father, inhabits our praise. And if God inhabits praise, dear friend, how can Satan stand against God the Father? There is strength in praise. It's an act of worship. It strengthens your relationship with God. And I'm going to tell you, I can't help but know that it drives Satan mad. If for no other reason, just do that. Because it hurts the enemy. Praise God. Use it. It is a tool God has given you. And when everything else seems to be falling apart, turn the radio on. Turn on some good music. Praise the Lord. I love these songs that Nathan has picked out for us this week as we were been singing about the battle belonging to God in so many ways. Would you pray with me? God, we are so susceptible to our own pride. God, we are so susceptible to the will of our bodies, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of our life. God, would you help us to be honest with ourselves, Lord, that we might realize just how weak we are and how badly we need You. God, we so often forget the hook in the bait. Lord, help us to be wise, to seek Your heart, to seek Your help. Help us, Lord, to rely on You. Thank You, God, that You give us Your protection. And when we stay under Your umbrella, You give us all we need.